This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Hello and welcome. I'm Natalie Pincham, and I will be reading synopses of some of the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery on September 5th, 2014. The topics of the articles featured in this podcast are epilepsy, vascular disorders, and oncology. Neuropsychological outcome after epilepsy surgery in patients with bilateral Ammons-Horn sclerosis. A clinical article by Viola Lara Vogt and colleagues. We all know HM, a patient with intractable epilepsy, whose case was mentioned in this journal for the first time in 1954. Although bilateral temporal resections have not been performed since that study, the treatment of patients with bilateral hippocampal sclerosis remains a delicate issue. Can these patients be treated surgically, or is the risk of seizure relapse and amnesia too high? In the Epilepsy Center in Bonn, Germany, 11 patients with bilateral hippocampal sclerosis underwent unilateral amygdalohippocampectomy. A control group of 8 patients who were not considered to be good surgical candidates were treated pharmacologically. Neuropsychological assessment showed impaired memory in more than 80% of all patients already at baseline. 1 year after surgery, 9 of 11 surgical patients were seizure-free, but 8 patients experienced a significant decrease in verbal memory, even after right-sided surgery. In the control group, no patient became seizure-free, and a significant memory decline was observed in only 2 of 8 patients. Subjective outcome in terms of mood and quality of life was better in the surgical patients. In summary, patients with bilateral hippocampal sclerosis benefit from surgery concerning seizure control and subjective outcome. However, they are at high risk of additional postoperative memory decline. Residual tumor volume versus extent of resection. Predictors of survival after surgery for glioblastoma. A clinical article by Matthew Grabowski and co-authors. Multiple retrospective studies have indicated an association between extent of resection and patient survival following surgery for newly diagnosed glioblastoma. Extent of resection typically is expressed as a percentage of the original tumor volume, and hence it is an indirect indicator of the amount of residual tumor tissue present at the end of surgery. The impact of this residual tumor volume on survival has rarely been analyzed as an independent predictor of outcome. The current retrospective study used volumetric measurement techniques to evaluate the relative importance of extent of resection and residual tumor volume as predictors of patient survival. The authors performed a quantitative volumetric analysis of pre- and postoperative MR images in a total of 128 cases involving patients who underwent resection of a supratentorial glioblastoma followed by standard radiation and chemotherapy. While both residual tumor volume and extent of resection were found to be significant predictors of survival, residual tumor volume was the more significant predictor of overall survival, with a contrast-enhancing residual tumor volume of 2 cubic centimeters or less associated with the greatest survival benefit to the patient. These results suggest that residual tumor volume may be a more accurate and meaningful reflection of the pathobiology of glioblastoma. Resolution of cranial neuropathies following treatment of intracranial aneurysms with the pipeline embolization device. A clinical article by Karom Moon and co-workers. Karam Moon and colleagues review their institutional experience with the Pipeline Embolization Device, or PED, in this subset analysis of patients presenting with one or more cranial neuropathies secondary to an intracranial aneurysm. 20 patients were studied, presenting most commonly with diplopia secondary to cavernous segment internal carotid artery, or ICA, lesions, but also including other ICA aneurysms and a basilar trunk lesion. At an average clinical follow-up of 9.5 months, 75% of patients had improvement or resolution of their cranial neuropathies. Complete or near-complete angiographic obliteration was significantly associated with clinical improvement. 2 patients in the series were ultimately treated with microsurgical bypass. Interestingly, although concerns often exist about mass effect from coils exacerbating cranial neuropathies, 5 of the 6 patients who underwent adjunctive coil embolization in this series also experienced clinical improvement. The authors hypothesize that resolution of cranial neuropathies with placement of the PED is probably secondary to immediate cessation of pulsatile arterial inflow into the aneurysm dome. Despite the high rate of clinical improvement at follow-up, there remains a subset of patients who do not improve with PED placement, regardless of duration of symptomatology. This subset of patients warrants further research and/or device modification. Thank you for listening. JNSPG podcast content is now contained in the American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. Comments on this podcast can be sent to jnspodcast@thejns.org.